Aloha and welcome to Kauai Death Cafe, Death on the Radio. It's a death positive event. We're here today to soften how we approach the topic of death, dying, grief, rituals, and all the ideas, approaches, and modalities from here at home and around the world. Show topics will range from today's show, an interview with David Spears, whose late wife Kathy used death with dignity, aka MAID, followed by a beautiful home burial, to the practical side of things like paperwork and understanding what happens after you actually die. My name is Jennifer, and I'm in studio with Susan and David, and we're here to facilitate the discussion, make introductions, and begin to ease into the idea of thinking about something we'll never be ready for, but we can prepare for. Good morning and aloha. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming today, David. It's great to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
Of course. We're here today to talk about David's late wife, Kathy, and the process that she went through after receiving a terminal diagnosis, and just the whole story. It's a really beautiful story. I saw the video that you guys made, which captured the story really perfectly.
Well, Kathy was an amazing person. She got a diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer with no prognosis that was good, and she decided to live her last days as best she could. She decided not to do any chemo that would have only added months to her time, and she wanted to be home. She wanted to be swimming in the ocean. She wanted to be with her friends, and she didn't want to be driving back and forth for infusions and what she saw as a waste of time that wasn't going to do her good and make her sick. So she lived fairly healthily for 6 months.
Wow.
And we swam several times a week. Mm. When she was too weak to walk, because we have walk-in access, when she was too weak to walk up the trail to get to the car, she took her boogie board and swam across the river where I would pick her up and take her to the beach.
Oh, wow. So your place is right on the river right there?
Right on the river, yes.
Oh, wow. That's gorgeous, actually. I can picture her doing that.
Yep. And of course, she loved the place so much, so that was her decision to be buried on her property.
Yeah. And that's something that's not unique for Hawaii to be able to do that, but that is something that we do here often. And there is a legal process that has to do with all of that. And so David followed all of those rules.
No, Kathy followed all those
rules. Kathy followed all those rules, and David facilitated it.
I followed Kathy.
There you go. There you go, Ken. Well, that's so nice. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be a part of. And I'm sure that at the time you were you standing 1 foot in the fence and 1 foot on the other side of the fence, or you were just, this is what I'm doing for her?
It's what I was doing for her, because it's what she wanted.
Yeah.
And she was a wonderful partner for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
And what she gave me was incredible. So what I could give her back was supporting her going through the process.
Yeah. And spending that time with her, that was just very valuable at the end there.
There were several times that she said, well, we could do this, but no, let's not do that, because she talked about having a pre-memorial.
Oh, uh-huh.
So she could talk to people.
Yeah.
And she said, no, if you're planning that, you can't be with me.
Oh, wow.
And there were several times like that she said, no, we need to spend our time together. And so that was good. And she spent her time by opening up her door to people to come be with her,
mm-hmm.
and be part of the whole experience with her. And that was pretty amazing. The people come from all over the country and all over Hawaii and came to spend time with Kathy.
Mm-hmm. To embrace, because she knew that she was going to die. And so she had that moment to make those arrangements.
Yes.
And to say what was important to her and to hear what was important to her.
Yes.
And I'm sure you got to know her just on an even deeper level. Being together for 23 years, you bet you thought you knew everything about her, didn't you? And then she had such a graceful way about her towards that ending after she was given that news.
Well, I used to, shall I say, brag about Kathy because I just was enamored with her.
Mm.
And she was always a little bit, don't say that.
Right.
You know, but she was. So I don't know if I was surprised.
Yeah.
Because she'd already demonstrated a poise that is amazing.
Yeah. And so she, you guys went through the process of talking with the doctor about medical aid in dying or death with dignity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and so, I mean, she did include me in all of that, every doctor visit.
Mm-hmm.
And she shocked the oncologist.
Oh.
Who could not believe that she was going to choose to do nothing.
Did you have the girl oncologist?
No, here? It was a fellow from Nepal, actually.
Oh, wow.
And he eventually came around and said, well, in thinking about it, I think this is what I would do too.
Yeah. Wow. You don't get those doctors on that page very often.
No.
No, you don't.
No, that's not their job.
No. They have a different job. Yeah. Wow. Wow, what a journey.
It was quite a journey. And but there are some good support. And with the lung cancer, we went to a pulmonary specialist, mm-hmm. Dr. Jackson, who was just amazing too, mm. and just so calm and supportive.
Yeah.
That was, there was so much good that came out of that. In
yeah.
fact, the only bad is that I don't have Kathy with me now.
Absolutely. Oh, bless her and rest her soul. That's all we can say. I mean, oh my
yep.
gosh. And then the gifts that someone gives you towards the end like that, it's hard to extrapolate when you're in the middle of it. But I'm sure that looking back in hindsight, you see her poise represented just as she always had it.
That's true.
You know?
Yes.
She was very much herself through the whole situation.
She was. And she's always a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it, not only in physical strength, but in mental strength.
Oh.
And, you know, and it's not that we didn't have our moments. We cried together.
Of course. Yeah.
And, but she was just so amazing. I mean.
Yeah.
That's, and so supportive of me, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And supportive of the community. I've watched it happen and how she let anybody in who wanted to come and talk about it or be with her, or even to the point where I felt like they're gawking. But I know she didn't think that. I know she knew that she was sharing something profound and something that we all did learn from. I mean, I don't think anybody who was around her then didn't come away with some heartfelt understanding of how it could be and how it doesn't have to be the old story anymore. She created a new story. She changed me just by being in the same vicinity as her. She's, it was remarkable.
Yeah, it shows us all that there's a different way of doing things, and that's different for each of us, you know. And even just being in the know that is even an option, to have medical aid in dying, you know, and that you get a diagnosis and then you get a battery of information about how to treat this new situation that you're in, and it's always aggressive, and it's always, you got to do it tomorrow because everything's so aggressive. They'll let you stay right there at the hospital if you wanted to and just check in and get going, you know? And it's how you want things addressed sometimes, right? You want to get stitches because you've got a big gash and you're bleeding out everywhere. And that's an easier decision to make than what the outcome of some of these treatments would be, you know?
Right.
And it gets really confusing, and you begin to think that you're doing the wrong thing sometimes. And so it's reassuring to me, because she's a woman in her power who knew what she wanted. She knew what she liked. She knew where she wanted to be, in the comfort of her home and in the comfort of her friends, you know, surrounded by music in her jungle, you know. And she was picturing her own death in a way that was not clinical, you know.
Right.
And that's a really big gift, to hold that space for somebody and to allow that to happen in your house, you know. And it just isn't in a lot of people's purview, you know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that I think society-wise we're taught to fear death.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate, because it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no avoiding that.
No.
And so there are unfortunate deaths, but the way Kathy chose to be with the inevitable is a good example. It's just amazing.
It is a good example. And that's why we're here talking about this today, because this is a person who made this decision, and she was successful at it. You know, she followed through with her plan, and you helped to execute that for her very beautifully, you know, and prepare for it as it was happening, digging the hole, gathering the flowers, calling the friends, you know, and everything that entails. It's like planning a giant wedding or something. You know,
yeah.
But you weren't really sure what day it was going to be. You know.
Well, ultimately, she picked her day.
So did she pick her day? Sort of, when did she pick her day?
It was when she was getting so weak that she really, I would have to hold her up whenever she walked. And she still liked to walk out under her property. And she liked to walk out and watch us dig her grave.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And we dug down a few feet and hit some rocks. And and I started thinking, how am I going to get this big rock out of there? And we dug around the rock, and she came out and looked down, and she said, I can live with that. She had made her own litter to be lured into the grave, but the rock prevented that from happening. So we used it to get her to the grave, and then we lured her into the grave ourselves. But there were many times, even one time friends with a young daughter came by, and we sat by the grave and talked about death. So here was this 4-year-old listening and asking questions, and Kathy answering.
Wow. Probably very inquisitive, important questions.
Yes.
I remember hearing people went to visit her, and she would take them down to the hole, and it reminded me of, you know, when you're a new mother and you get the nursery all set up and you want to take people in and show them the nursery. And it felt like that to me. It's like with that kind of joy, she would say, come and see whatever she called it. But it was joyful. It was a celebration and, like you said, inevitable. So
that's a great analogy, because it also takes the fear out of that. She knew right where her grave was, and that it was under those beautiful trees. And, you know, she was moving into
it was
the
her
idea.
Nursery.
Yeah, it was her nursery.
For her new birth.
Well, she chose the spot. She drew the map for the state to register with Bureau of Conveyances. She did all of her work. She was present with her mortality the whole time. And even the time we were crying, she was not running from that.
Right. She was easing into that. Yeah.
And I think I think probably there was a little bit. I mean, she was an incredible outdoor woman, and and she was going to be leaving a place that she loved, but she was going to be in a place she loved. And for me, it's such a benefit because I can go be with her every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
what's that like when you go down there? Is there anything? I know you go down and visit her or whatever you want to call it. So what is that like for you? Is it palpable?
It's calming. Actually, you know, I feel I'm called. Sometimes I'll just be out working in the yard and I'll stop what I'm doing and go there and tell her how much I love her and miss her. And so it's... No, it's a blessing to me. It's not like she's someplace far off. I mean, she's there.
All the time.
She's not even ashes. She's like, there she is.
No, that's what she wanted, a true green burial.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of things that are sold as green burials are...
Not.
Are really, yeah, really not. And you're not... I mean, she wants to nourish the earth that she loved.
Yeah.
And she's doing that.
That's so cool. This is a big subject for Susan because she wishes to do the same thing that Kathy did.
You know, we've talked about, yes.
Yeah. And everybody who listens to the show knows that that's one of the things that Susan's interested in.
Yeah, more than interested. I have to figure out how to get through the county. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that seems to be the only thing between me and a... dig a hole and put me in and let me nourish that big old tree I'm under.
Yep.
Which
we've got your maps printed out, so we just need to draw the grave on there. She found a guy to dig the grave.
Yeah, I already asked this tree person I know if he'd come, and he said he would be honored. Yeah. So I got that arranged just for my own.
And he's a friend of yours too.
What?
He's a friend of
yours,
too.
Yeah, I've known him since he was a baby.
Yeah.
So, and he had no problem when I said, Auntie wants you to come and dig a hole.
He said, I'm there. No problem.
Well, first he says, well, who do you want to off? He has a great sense of humor. And then he said he'd be honored. Yeah, it's so many of us are looking at this. That's why Kathy was... so incredible, because we're all right in that pool, swirling down the drain, so to speak. And so there was somebody who had the courage to do what most of us don't really think we could do, coming from the cultures we came from, you know, or the doctors saying to her, how could you do that, you know? So, yeah, she was courageous beyond, and I think inspired a lot of people to make their own choice. I mean, whatever they do doesn't matter, but if it's their choice, if it's not based on culture or society or the doctors or all of those things, to figure out in your heart what you want. And she did it.
Yeah, and I mean, and it when you know what you want and you can voice that, it gives you the faith in where you're going to, it seems. You know, you got to make these choices. Please don't take me to the hospital, you know? And so you can probably lean into it a little bit better or a little bit easier, you know? It's not so unknown. I mean, of course, the unknown is totally unknown, but at least the physical part.
Or at least you can pretend.
I mean, yeah, you can pretend.
I don't know that any of us know what's actually going to happen. But I know for me, it was, regardless of what happens, I feel like I've regained some of my choice or control in my life, which has been the theme of my life.
Right.
So to be able to say, okay, this is what I want to do, whether it happens that way or not, we never can know. At least I feel real comfortable now thinking, oh, that's handled. It's in God's hands from there on, you know, and so, yeah, and then to see, I mean, Kathy was the first person I've ever known that really walked the walk and did exactly, and she, knowing who she was, this was the perfect place for her.
Was in she the ground, a teacher?
No, beyond teacher. I mean, she was a universal teacher.
She was, but not a teacher at
I
the
see.
Same time.
Yeah.
But she did teach us all through that. And the other beautiful thing to me is that she prepares the people left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's a lot easier. I mean, I was really amazed at my own self, you know, when it came time to mix the chemicals and do my part.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she had to administer them herself.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then that night and the next day, mm-hmm. when we buried her, to be able to perform, if she hadn't prepared me as she did, yeah. it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah.
So it a lot of the sadness didn't really come until later on.
After you were done.
Yeah.
And probably before also.
You know, before I was supporting her.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had my moments of crying, but she was so strong.
Yeah.
That strength came unto me.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that's a key, too, about preparing the people around you. That's one of the things that I see in my journey, that if I talk to the people I care about before, they know what's in my heart, what my intentions are, how I see the whole picture, then I get a lot of agreement. I get a lot of like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so if and when whatever happens, happens, I feel like individually I've touched the people who, like with Kathy and you know, she really prepared you to be able to move through it, supporting her with love instead of, because grief is about your own loss. So, you know, it's like, so yeah, after it's all over, then you could think, poor me, I lost Kathy. But while it's because of Kathy's strength, while you were going through it, it was, yay, Kathy, you know, you're courageous, you're brave, you're clear. And all of us got caught up in that energy with her, you know, and I only saw her a couple times, but every time I did, it was such clarity and such like, yeah, girl, we support you because you're making your decision for yourself, and that's doesn't happen much in our world. In the world I know, anyway. So
certainly unique to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, big time. How, after she took the medicine, how long did it take before she actually died?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And she, ooh. Being Kathy, she continued her ways, and she laid back and she said, I'm still here. Then she said, a little bit later, I'm still here. And then her last words were, I'm surrounded by love.
Oh,
wow.
And then she went into a coma, and a couple minutes later, she was gone.
Wow. That's amazing. You always hear these near-death experience people, and when they come back from their near-death experience, pretty much across the board, that's what they talk about, is love. You know, and they cannot stop talking about it, and they tell it on the mountain to everyone, you know, about the love. And that's a beautiful last words to say, you know, as a confirmation for those that she's leaving behind.
Right. And at that time, her niece and grandniece and longtime good friend, as well as our nurse friend Dee Dee, who came down to give me moral support with mm-hmm. what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it left us all with love.
It was a gift.
Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that gift with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to take a tiny break and do some radio station business, which is, I guess, what they call it. We're going to have a commercial. So thank you so much for being with us today on KKCR on Kauai's Death Cafe. We're in studio with David, and we're talking about his beautiful wife, Kathy, who took medical aid in dying and then is buried on their property. So we'll return in just a moment. Thank you. Hello, and we're back here on KKCR Death Cafe, and we're in studio today with Susan and David, and we were talking about his wife, Kathy, who had medical aid in dying and then was buried at home in her house, at her house in Wainiha. So that's all. We've been talking about that for the last half hour, if you're just joining us now, and we were going to continue that conversation. I have a question for you, David.
Okay.
Did this change the way that maybe you think about your death?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Mm.
I saw lots of death. And I've always kind of thought that every day alive is a blessing.
Yeah.
It's probably made me think a little bit more about the actual ending, but I really don't think I've been that afraid of my death.
Right.
Knowing that it's going to happen and being blessed by not having died all those years ago.
Absolutely.
And so... No, I think it was just really personal with Kathy is what I took away, is that my heart is so full for having a partner who was so together and so strong and just an amazing human being.
Yeah.
Have you thought about the actual process? I mean, I know you're not afraid of dying, but are you going to be buried next to her on the land, or do you have you thought beyond?
Well, that is a dream of mine, to be buried next to her, but of course it's hard. You know, I look at my own parents passing and they both, my dad was about 90, my mother a few years older than that, and like with my dad, he had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that path, you know, am I going to be able to live on that property?
Right.
I mean, one of the beautiful things that Kathy did is that in her will, as long as I want to live there, I can live on her property.
Mm.
And her niece and nephew who now own that property are good with that. But it's hard to predict what physical ailments, because it's a walk-in access.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not an easy place. A lot of people don't come visit just because they don't want to walk up and down that hill.
Sure.
So, but it keeps me strong. Yeah. And in my mind, I would love to be buried next to her.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of variables. I mean.
That makes a lot of sense, because you just don't know where you're going to be in. What state of mind you're going to be in, all those big questions. None of us know.
This is a recording, so we're talking about your intention now.
Yep.
I mean, if and when and if you can, if can, if
right.
can, can, not, cannot.
Yep. But. I mean, it's...
But you have it written down somewhere or told somebody? As we're all learning that now, you write it down, tell somebody, make sure.
Probably should, but I haven't got to that point yet.
Yeah.
I think I have discussed it with my daughter.
Yeah.
But she's in North Carolina, so that's, you know. And you don't know. I mean, some years ago, I was crossing Rice Street in like, who, I got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And although I almost dodged it, so I didn't get hurt bad. But you never know when those things are coming up. So there's so many variables. So to try to set a course.
Yeah.
And it was one thing, Kathy was fortunate because she knew what was coming.
Yes.
And she could set her course.
Yeah.
And do it. And if things go well, that's a good way to go.
Right.
But if things don't go well, who knows?
Right.
And ultimately, I think, spiritually we'll be together.
Absolutely.
And no matter where the physical remains are,
mm-hmm.
in spirit, because I really feel Kathy. And Christmas morning, and it was, I was alone, and I took my coffee down, sat by her grave, and felt her presence. But then I went out to KA, and not long before she was diagnosed, we had planted two challah out there. And so that's another place I visit to feel her spirit.
Mm.
And after visiting the challah, and I walked down on the beach, and something caught my eye, and I looked over, and there was an albatross on the beach. And I've never seen an albatross there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it for a while to see if it was injured or anything, but it seemed to be okay. So I walked on, and then it flew past me and in front of me and out to sea.
Mm.
And it was just, I just felt Kathy so strong right then. So yeah. It doesn't matter where I am, that spirit is there.
Have you been tuned into feeling spirits like that before this? Or is this a new feeling for you?
I have had, in my life, I've had some times, because I'm basically a non-believer.
Right.
And I had three times in my life, I've had felt presences that were too strong. And actually, one time I saw my sister's mother-in-law materialize and disappear.
Oh, wow.
And where I would say, I don't believe any of that stuff.
Sure.
But
you
there
saw
it was.
And you still didn't believe it.
But there it was in front of me, and I can't deny it. Yeah. So I think I'm confident the love that we have, that we'll intertwine someplace.
Yeah. I'm really...
As if you're not already...
intertwined.
As if you're not already. Like,
but it will continue. There's a continuum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that more and more, too, that there really is. And you'll just continue on the continuum with Kathy.
Well, as he answered that question, the look in your face was a face of belief. You don't know how it's happening, but it's there, and you can't deny it anymore, and you're not denying it.
No.
So that's the, he's inching in to belief and faith, and you know, you're not a non-believer, you believe in something.
Oh yeah,
but
I believe in that. I believe in atoms.
Yeah,
you know, I believe in this. There's this force out there that we're all, that's in all of us, and we're in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's one thing Kathy was good at. She really understood that she was in, especially on Kauai, but mm-hmm. on the planet. And she was a part of everything. And I mean, she worshiped nature.
Yeah, that's the best course of worship, I think. I think we're all nature worshipers if we live here.
She was a high priestess.
Yeah.
That woman did things out in nature that nobody else I knew did. I mean, she hiked places where anyone else would have been terrified, and she was a sailor.
Yeah.
She was a sailor as well. So, no, I used to hear stories about her that were unbelievable, but believable because I knew Kathy. So.
Well, navigating the water is a thing that most people have major fear around, you know?
She grew up a sailor. She grew up on Oahu.
Her dad was sailing in the Pacific before World War II, so she grew up with a sailing dad and lived right on the water. Her story is that they were going to get in the ocean one day, mm-hmm. and her and her mother. And so her mother did something, and she went out. And when her mother came out to the dock by their house, she was coming out of the water. So at a very young age, when she could just barely walk, she was a water person.
Yeah.
And she had parents that encouraged that and had some wonderful adventures with her parents. And she, the family would sail to Hanalei every summer.
Oh, wow. From Oahu.
Yeah. And stay on their boat. And so when she grew up, she knew where she wanted to be.
Oh, wow.
And so she came to Kauai.
What a connection.
Yeah.
When you were in Vietnam, were you in the Navy?
I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, you're in the Marine Corps. Right.
Heavy duty.
Yeah.
They're the hurrah.
I just wondered if she picked herself up a sailor, that's all.
I did some sailing, not as much as her, but I'm not unfamiliar with boats.
Yeah. What a fun thing to be a sailor and a captain and all of that stuff. I love the water myself. I have a boat and I love it.
You know, that the water was, I mean, our first date was swimming at KA. Oh. And I watched her swim and I went, wow.
I have to marry this mermaid. Oh, I'm glad you did. You didn't even know they were your dreams and they came true.
Yes.
It's a beautiful story and romantic. And it's just a testimony of your love that she was surrounded with, and she knew it. And
she was. Oh, my God. So many people came to visit her. I mean, everybody I knew had, mm-hmm. would say, I went to see Kathy. And I was just shocked that she stayed so open to everyone.
To the end, yes.
Yeah, that was amazing, because I'd probably be a grump and want nobody to talk to me. But this is mm-hmm. an amazing human being who could open herself up at a time like that.
And, you know, and it shows at her memorial, too, because people kept coming up and saying they wanted to do something. I mean, there were Sufis and there were Christians and there were...
Yeah.
Just everything in between. And in fact, there was a couple who lives out in Hyannis, and they said, well, we know Kathy wasn't a Christian, so what about that guy who gave the prayer at the end?
Oh.
And I just said, you know, everybody there was part of her community.
Yeah,
right. And we included everybody
mm-hmm.
in that event. So
all the language. All the spiritual languages converged at Kathy's house that day.
Yeah. Well, that was the memorial we had at Waipa. But,
okay.
But there was a convergence. There were people who showed up for a burial who just showed up.
Did they even know that she had died by that point?
They had heard from somebody else. Oh, and okay. And so, and that song, Nevermore to Say Goodbye, two Chandler sisters show up with their ukuleles. Oh. And I would have told them, except things were so busy and I didn't have their phone number, but they just showed up, and that's the song they sang.
Wow.
And which was the song that Kathy sang with her nieces on her deathbed. Yep.
Yeah, it might be Coquet. That's one of the... I know both of those songs. I just can't find them on the...
Nevermore to Say Goodbye. I'd love to play it.
And that was Dennis Kamakahi. Is that who you said?
No, the Nevermore to Say Goodbye is Dennis Kamakahi.
The other one's Olamana.
The other one's Olamana, yeah.
I know the whole song, but I can't find the title of it under
Olamana. I'm not good about remembering names.
Oh, yeah, so. That was one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah, it's just called Koke'e.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Want to play it now? Let's see if that's it.
Let's see.
It's a beautiful song.
It is.
See if you can make it work.
There we go. Well, thank you again, David, for coming in. Thank you for, you know, this is a legacy that she's left behind. She has left an example.
She has.
Of, you know, what, it's a nice template for Susan. I know that.
But she, my big sister.
This is another, you know, it's another way. And it was a beautiful story. I saw the video and I watched it, you know, a few times. And I felt like I got to know her through that video just a little bit, even though it doesn't have any voice or anything like that. And I could see everything that you said being true. Just in her picture, you know, and
this really going cool. out to the whole wide world yes. is pretty big tribute to Kathy, because I keep thinking this radio, this little radio station goes out to the whole wide world. So this is all over the planet.
I've heard these discussions about the afterlife. What's the afterlife? And for us on Earth, this is the afterlife. This is Kathy's afterlife. We're talking about her, you know?
Yes.
And we're talking about...
Oh, yeah. It's her afterlife.
Her afterlife.
For us.
Mm-hmm. For us. Her version is something different that you'll get to find out when you see her.
Yes.
You know? But it's always a reflection, a bittersweet reflection, you know? It's like you're... I'm crying at the same time as I'm smiling. That's hard to do, people.
That's exactly it.
I know that feeling very well.
I bet you've gotten to know that feeling pretty well. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And this last song goes out to Kathy. And everybody have a soulful Sunday. And we'll see you next week, because we have another show next week. It's the first Sunday. So we are on air the first and the fourth Sunday here on KKCR at noon, straight up on your drive home from church. I hope
Amen.
Everybody has a great, great day. I know I'm going to. And thank you so much again for sharing with us.
Yes, thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you, David.
Oh, man.